along with my buddy Matt Neely. Matt's pulling a long shift today. I very much appreciate Matt sticking around to engineer and produce the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. For our listeners south of Tucson, just getting hammered. There's an avenue of moisture that's just coming up from Nogales, Green Valley, Sahuarita, and just moving north, north and then west. And just been dumping rain off and on for a couple of hours. Had a listener, a friend on Facebook who posted down in Sahuarita that some of the thunder she'd been in Tucson 20 years and had never heard such violent thunder, Matt, that they're getting down there. And just if you look at the radar, it's just, it's like from Nogales, and it just goes due northwest.
And the line of showers just seems to be staying along the west side of I-10.
Yeah, on the west side of I-10, and the Weather Service still insists that that was supposed to be cleared out by about noon, but it's still really it's really going strong down there. All right, the Buckmaster Show. We will begin our 15th year, believe it or not, in January. We come to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're part of the Bustos Media presence in Tucson. We have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're going to go now on the live line. Our contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health. She's internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system challenges. Together with her team at the center, she created and implemented educational programs that have trained thousands of physicians, nurses, and other health professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. She is a highly sought-after speaker. Dr. Mazes is editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. She co-hosts with Dr. Weil the popular podcast Body of Wonder, and Dr. Mazes was named one of the world's 25 intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. You can find her on her website, integrativemedicine.arizona.edu, and follow her on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Intuitively, we know that touch is, at least I've always heard that touch is beneficial. Now we have some new research that pretty much backs that up, Dr. Mazes.
Yes. So I think we did know it intuitively, and there were a certain number of studies, but, you know, we just went through the COVID pandemic, and a lot of people during that pandemic were socially isolated and starved for touch. And what we learned was that that touch deprivation increased our risk of anxiety and depression.
I try to get some body work done at least once a month. Been doing that now for almost 25 years. Some kind of, we call it zero balancing, but it is a form of massage, and it's body work. And I always, if I go in there to the session, may feel a little down. I always seem to feel much better after a 50-minute session. So at least from my point of view, the touch is very beneficial, Dr. Mazes.
Yes, so massage is one fabulous example of safe, healthy touch. It also, of course, can improve your body mechanics, and it can relieve pain if you've got, you know, a tight spot that needs a little work. But massage is a great example. Another example is a hug. You know, if one of your friends hugs you, the thing about this new research that was just published earlier this year is that the more often you're touched, the better. So getting a massage once a month is great. Getting a massage once a year might not do that much. Getting hugged, you know, when you see your friends every day or two, well, that could be really terrific.
I mean, I could actually go for it once a week, but just the way the way it's set up, it is once a month. But I could actually see a benefit of going in every week. Tell me a little bit more about the information that was associated with this study that I think the researchers were from Germany and the Netherlands, correct?
Yeah, so this was an article. It was actually what we call a systemic review. So they looked at all of the research that's been published over the past years on touch, you know, both in children and adults. And then they said, well, what do we find? So when they combined the studies, there were almost 3,000 people in the what we call the touch group, and then almost 2,600 people in the control group. There were 85 studies. And what they found was that touch really benefited pain, anxiety, depression. It had some benefit as well in fatigue, in sleep, and in some of the things like blood pressure and stress hormone called cortisol. So it had differing effects, but very strong effects, as I said, on anxiety, pain, and depression.
How about premature babies and newborns for that? Well, newborns, premature, how do they benefit?
They sure do. And you know, for a little while, we, you know, were very cautious about babies in the newborn nursery. We were worried about infection, et cetera. But it turns out that babies just have to be touched. And the newborns, interestingly enough, were more soothed by touch by one of their parents, their mother or father, than they were by the nurses. That's quite interesting. In contrast, if you take an adult who's in the hospital, the family member and the healthcare provider equal effect from touch. So it's good for all of us to be touched, but when we're talking about babies in the hospital, their family, their mother, their father, more potent than a healthcare worker.
That is very interesting, but there's something about that, the parental connection, the blood connection to that child, that they feel that more so than a nurse who is outside of the family line.
Yeah, I think they don't know for sure why it is. I mean, you can imagine, you know, of course, the baby's been in the mother's uterus, so whether they sense the mother's heart rate or, you know, some kind of familiarity, that would make sense. But it was true for the father as well, where there's, you know, not that same in utero experience for the 9 months before birth. Another thing that was super interesting to me is that if you touch someone's head, it was better than touching their arm. So, you know, just think about that scalp massage, or even when you go to the hairdresser. I think women more often have their hair shampooed before it's cut than men, but men maybe ought to ask to have a shampoo before you have your hair cut, because touching of the head was very beneficial. And then the frequency. So being touched more often was more beneficial than infrequent touch.
Another reason to give to children in these toy drives that an object like a fuzzy stuffed toy, they found in the research that was even beneficial to the children.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, those substitutes, you know, and the need to have something that is soothing to us. And then, you know, I just want to mention, this actually wasn't in the article, but of course, you know, sensual touch, where people are either in an intimate relationship or they're cuddling with someone. And so there's really clear evidence that that is good for our health as well, from a perspective of lower blood pressure, less anxiety, less pain, and even a better immune response. I think that our bodies are genetically programmed to respond to touch.
And so in our closing remarks of this segment, it does seem, this research backing it up, that touch truly does improve someone's well-being. I think we can say that, can't we?
I would completely agree with that statement.
All right, we'll take a break right here, and we'll have more with Dr. Victoria Mazes. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, and we will be right back with Dr. Victoria Mazes from the Integrative Center, the Andrew Weil Integrative Center of Medicine at the University of Arizona. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Looking at the radar right now, that river of moisture just continuing to flow up from the Nogales Green Valley area, and Tucson's getting a little bit rain now on the south. Looks like would be the southwest side. Looks like a pretty good thunderstorm over the southwest side. So kind of a strange, we're not used to morning rain during the summer thunderstorm season.
Especially but, along Ajo. Right?
Yeah, there that's you right. go, Matt Neely, especially along that that Ajo way. But that's one of the things that we can be grateful for living in the desert. I'm not grateful, certainly, for the active storms that produce the very, and they have been very destructive, this wind and that, but generally I'm always welcoming out at the Buckmaster Bungalow, checking the rain gauge, and it's looked pretty good this year. about 6 inches. So we are thankful for the monsoon moisture. Dr. Victoria Mays is the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, is with us on the live line for our second segment with her. And I want to talk a little bit about gratitude. It's important in every aspect of our life, isn't it, Dr. Mays?
I think it is, and one of the things that's wonderful about gratitude is it can make us happier. Yeah. I actually wanted to turn the tables and ask you a question.
Yeah, and as you know, I've been very open about and transparent about my loss a year ago, and we marked the one-year anniversary of Ann's passing on Saturday, August 17th, and it's been a very, very challenging year. Right now, I'm personally working on four or five things, and one of them is gratitude. The first thing is just finding some peace in my life. The second one is trying to restore my life to kind of a new normal. The other one, the next item I'm working on, acceptance / surrender, if you will, to reality. And I'm working on trying to incorporate every day some kind of sliver of joy in finding some gratitude, Dr. Mays.
So I'd love to just ask, so how have you found that way to notice and to really acknowledge the things that you can be grateful for, you know, given the huge loss that you experienced?
Well, the first thing I've done is gratitude part. The setup to the gratitude has to be, as far as I'm concerned, acceptance and more of a living in the moment and accepting the moment. Since I've talked to you last, I've become very much involved with meditation. Get up at 5:30 every morning, do 15 minutes on a meditation program, and then I do another 5 minutes on a particular breathing program that actually slows down your breath. And when you slow down your breath, I understand it gives you more clarity, it relaxes you, takes away some of the anxiety. So it's when I set up and begin my day, Dr. Mays, that during the meditation practice is a perfect time to think about some things that we could be thankful for as we embark on a new day. Like to start with, happy I'm basically still here, still alive, yeah. And still trying to move forward. But it could be anything. It could be like yesterday's visit to the dentist. I'm happy that they didn't find any cavities. it can be as simple as being grateful that you look outside and the garden looks so beautiful. Little things like that. I call them slivers of joy.
Well, I love that way of expressing it, and indeed, I think one of the things people don't always realize is that in a gratitude practice, which is something you can develop, you're not looking for huge things. It's not, well, I'm grateful because I won the lottery, or I'm grateful because I got promoted in my job. You know, those small things, like I'm grateful that my teeth are in good shape, or, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, the garden is growing so beautifully. I'm grateful for the rain, as you said earlier. Those are all things that help us to notice the positives and to therefore build that positive muscle, you know, that positive outlook on life. One of the researchers, Dr. Emmons, who has a large body of research on gratitude, says what we do is we affirm the good things we've received, and these could be small things, and we also acknowledge the role that other people play in making our lives better.
Yeah, I mean, the support staff, the people who have gotten or have helped in my journey over the past year, I celebrated these people with a small event on Saturday, half a dozen people sharing a meal these half dozen folks have been instrumental in being there for me during this year. And this was actually kind of a celebration on Saturday of Ann's life, and looking back over the year and where we've come from and how I'm trying to move forward.
How wonderful. And how wonderful to appreciate that half dozen people who really have been instrumental. So there are different ways to practice gratitude. There's no right way or wrong way. But, you know, one of the common ways that it's done and that is actually well-researched is to keep a gratitude journal. And that's really a daily practice where you note down the things that you're grateful for. Ordinary things. They can be things about yourself or about other people in your life. And, you know, keeping this list is one of the things that's been shown to improve our happiness, reduce our depression. Usually when it's researched, the way it's done is you're asked to come up with three new things each day. And they are different things each day. So, for example, if I am making a list and I'm grateful that my son is back from a trip, and I say that today on Wednesday, I don't say the same thing on Thursday, even though I'm still feeling grateful that he's back. But it's important to keep noticing new things and building that habit of seeing the world and noticing the things that are worthwhile of acknowledging as positive in one's life.
You know, I tried the journaling, and I do have the journal. I haven't been as religious about it as I thought I would, but I think it's important, even when you're in the mood, even if it's not every day, to put something down when you are ready to do it.
Correct. I completely agree. I like to say that the perfect is the enemy of the good, quoting Voltaire, of course. So, you know, doing it when you do it is still building up that cognitive awareness of the benefits and the positives in your life. Another way to do it is to not write it down, but if you have a partner to do this with, that could be your significant other in your life, your spouse, it could be a sibling, it could be a friend, but, you know, where you speak it out loud, and speaking things out loud has its own impactful bit, because you not only notice, but then you say it aloud and you hear yourself saying it.
Getting back to, as I mentioned, about meditation, what are some of your thoughts? Have you delved into that area of self-improvement and wellness, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, meditation, I think, is an enormously helpful habit that people can develop. And, of course, there's different ways to meditate. One way is to follow your breath, so just sitting quietly and noticing your breath. And, of course, your mind will start thinking, and that's what the mind does. And then you bring your attention back to your breath. That's a very common form of meditation. There's also what we call mindfulness meditation, which is you're in the moment. So if you're washing the dishes, you're noticing the warm, soapy water on your hands, how the plate may have felt greasy and now it feels clean, the sponge that you're using. It's really being present to your life in whatever you're doing. And many health benefits to meditation, but one of them is that it quiets our nervous system. And we are often in a heightened state, you know, what we call a sympathetic nervous system overdrive, where we've got a lot of that stress hormone circulating. And so meditation is one practice that quiets our nervous system and brings us into what we call the parasympathetic, where we are balancing that tendency that we have to be in stress mode.
How about breath work?
So breath work, another wonderful practice. Sometimes, as I said, it's part of meditation, but sometimes it's just a relaxation practice. So if you're not driving, you can do this. You could just put your hand on your belly and notice when you breathe in, your belly expands.
Yes.
And when you breathe out, your belly falls back. That's called diaphragmatic breathing. It's the simplest breathing exercise of all. We sometimes teach people what we call box breathing, which is imagine a square or a box, and you breathe in 1, 2, 3, 4, going up one side of the box, and you hold your breath 1, 2, 3, 4 across the top. You breathe out 1, 2, 3, 4 down the side, and then you hold again 1, 2, 3, 4 across the bottom. Very easy to remember. Box breathing. In for 4, hold for 4, out for 4, hold for 4. And actually, this is a breathing exercise that the military teaches soldiers as a way for them to kind of center themselves during moments of high stress.
Good advice, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Always a pleasure. Folks can follow Dr. Mazes on X at Dr. Mazes or on the website integratedmedicine.arizona.edu. Dr. Mazes, always a pleasure. Hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We're going to take our mid-show break, Buckmaster Midweek Edition, and we'll talk with the City of Tucson Parks and Recreation Director, Lara Hamwi, is with me, and she'll be with me in studio right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things, and the green things love the rain, and folks love to go to green things to replace some of the items that in their garden that were damaged by these destructive storms, like some of the hail damage. Anyway, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is Zocalo Village. They have all that incredible pottery from all over Mexico. They've got the Talavera pottery. They go over, there's pottery from really all over the world, Europe, Asia. And so Zocalo Village is part of the Green Things complex, 13-acre site. Go check it out. They are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, looking at that radar, oh, wow, it's still the river of moisture, the avenue of moisture, still just pretty much to the west, but getting a little bit more now into the Tucson proper area. Downtown, we had a report downtown, it was really raining, so getting some kind of a strange summer thunderstorm day where the rains began in the morning. Normally it's afternoon and evening kind of events. Nearly $3 million in federal funding has been awarded to upgrade and renovate a 48-acre park on Tucson's north side. The park is Jacobs Park, and it's one of 10 parks across the United States that was awarded part of a $46.7 million round of funding. That funding came from the U.S. Department of the Interior's Outdoor Legacy Partnership Program. Lara Hamwe is with us. Lara is the director of the City of Tucson's Parks and Rec Department, coming up on 4 years pretty much since Lara came to Tucson from Miami in Dade County, where she was involved with the Parks Department down in South Florida. Hey, Lara, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. So of the nearly $50 million round of funding, what's our portion?
So we were awarded about $2.9 million, and I think a lot of that successfully was awarded because we had matching dollars through Prop 407 to really show that we had a master plan for this park and an ability to spend the dollars, and that master plan was generated by the community. So they had confidence to give us the money because we were providing what the community has asked for.
This park is located off North Fairview Avenue and just south of West Prince Road. And already it includes, there's a softball complex there, right? Skate park, two soccer fields,
So those are actually some of the amenities to come. So right now we have two softball fields, tennis courts. We have a small dog park and two playgrounds. And what this money means combined with the other funding that we've attributed to this location is we're gonna have those things that you talked about, a fourplex for softball, two new soccer fields, pickleball courts, futsal courts,
and a skate. Futsal.
Futsal, it's like a mini soccer kind of game that is popular. We have folks that right now use the tennis courts to play that, but we're going to give them some dedicated space.
Oh, I think I've seen folks doing that. Kind of looks like they're roller skating or something, or no? Is that something else?
That might be something else. But I mean,
and there'll be pickleball courts, right? That really is growing.
If you build it, they will definitely come. We have found that no matter the location that we open up a pickleball court, it becomes very active and popular.
Mm-hmm. This park is one of how many parks in your portfolio?
One of 130.
130.
Mm-hmm.
Does the park itself expand, or the footprint of the park is still going to be the same? Is that correct?
Yeah, the footprint will be the same. We're just reorientating some of the amenities. We're, you know, the dog park is going to move a little south. It's going to get bigger. And by doing that, we're going to be able to create basically what we're calling a family zone with Ramadas and game stations and just a place for the neighborhood to be able to gather easily in the park.
And so let's talk a little bit about the dog park. What's how many dog parks do we have in your portfolio?
Ooh, I want to say
and
we're...
And is that something people are asking for? They want more dog parks.
We definitely see a trend of more people are advocating for spaces for them to connect with their dogs. Mm-hmm. We recently, over in Ward 4, opened up Wagging Tails Dog Park, which has been a tremendous success. In terms of the total number of dog parks, I want to say we're sitting around 7 of them at the moment. Jacobs does have a dog park, but it's a small dog park and it's a one size fits all. This new dog park would allow small dogs to go to one area, big dogs to go to another area, which we have learned a lot of dog owners prefer.
Hmm. And shade trees, is that part of the mix?
So we're projecting to plant 310 additional trees in this particular park. And just this morning, we were chatting with Kevin Dahl, who is the councilman for this particular park. And he's interested in doing more than that and maybe getting volunteers to help with the planting of the trees. So really making it a community experience.
Yes, and the Vice Mayor, Kevin Dahl, will be my guest actually Friday. So
awesome.
That was a good segue, Lara, for our interview with Kevin Dahl on Friday. So now let's talk about Proposition 407. Where are we with that program?
So we are currently sitting in phase two, and I would say pretty squarely halfway through that program. It was voted and adopted in 2018. Phase two is bringing projects like Santa Rita improvements. Santa Rita Park, at the end of this year, we're anticipating to close and get upgrades like a splash pad, playground, walking path. Jacobs, what we just talked about. Robert Price, which will be a brand new park on the southeast side of town. So we're really excited because we've got bigger projects, but then smaller projects like a brand new splash pad over at Fort Lowell. We just inaugurated that a couple weeks ago, and we're getting close to also opening a brand new splash pad over at Jesse Owens Park. So we're definitely touching the entire city and excited to see all the folks enjoying all the investments that Prop 407 brings.
What do the families tell you? They really like the splash pads?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gunny Barreras Park in particular, we opened that splash pad last May. I would venture to say when you go there, it is super crowded. Families plan a day around going. They picnic in the park. They hang out in the park. And that's really what you want to see. You want to see those connections and memories being made. And I personally just love it that I see they're cooling off. There's no charge to attend and use it. And they're creating memories that hopefully will last a lifetime.
And thanks to Matt Neely for bringing up futsal, F-U-T-S-A-L. It's a football-based game played on a hard court, like a basketball court, smaller than a football field, and mainly indoors. It has similarities to a five-a-side football and indoor football. Now, you're... futsal would be outdoors.
It would be outdoor on the tennis court area. So a hard court, fenced area. Okay. So that's why I usually liken it to like a smaller soccer experience.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lara, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, let's talk some more about what's been going on in your world with Parks and Rec.
Sure.
We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. One more break, and then we'll be back talking more about parks. 790-2040. If you have a question on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send a lot of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. A lot of people like to go over there and just cool off because it's 5,000 to 7,000 feet in Silver City. And so it's going to be we always say at least 10 degrees cooler. It could be more, but it's not a bad drive at all. About a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. It's the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio when we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Looks like a lot of the weather now is kind of moving right up Interstate 10, and looks like just some showery activity left behind in Tucson. The interesting question will be what the afternoon will bring, because normally we have the clear skies that and the heating produces a lot of our thunderstorms, but there's just not a lot of activity to the east of Tucson right now. All right, Lara Hamway is with us. She's the City of Tucson Parks and Rec director, and we've been talking about the good news for the Parks and Rec, getting a piece of a pretty big chunk of federal money to go to upgrading Jacobs Park. But there are 130 parks in Lara's portfolio, so she's got a big responsibility. In 2018, Prop 407 was approved by the Tucson voters. A city-backed plan to spend $225 million in bonds on our city parks and trails over a 10-year period from its approval. So I want to talk a little bit about our signature park, Reed Park. There's been a lot of input, Lara, about that park. What are you hearing? What do people want from the central park of Tucson?
Well, we know that it gets used a lot, and we know that there's a lot of value around wildlife and nature. Birders we've definitely learned birders use that park a lot. But we, in Prop 407, also had like a splash pad that was approved for the park. And so by hearing about the importance of wildlife and nature, we engaged a firm that could design a one-of-a-kind splash pad for Reed Park. We're anticipating that that should go into construction probably early 2025. And it's going to mimic the Arroyo Chico Wash, really kind of giving kids that experience of water bubbling up over bouldering and contours and water play that is very special and near and dear to our heart in terms of Reed Park.
Who makes these splash pads? I bet there's a particular vendor that you folks use.
There's different companies.
That must be a pretty big operation.
Yeah, it is, because nationally splash pads are being built. But you have different companies that will do very small apparatus to very large one. It all depends on what your budget and what your focus is. Down at Purple Heart Park, we have a giant spider in the middle of the splash pad that squirts water. And that's really popular. And I just love that we have that there, because it makes it a unique feature for that particular park.
Mm-hmm. Are our parks in pretty good shape? The infusion over 10 years is certainly happening, but generally when you look at the parks, how are they doing infrastructure-wise? The turf, the grounds, the whole bit. Yeah.
I would say we're middle of the road. We're doing the best that we can. We're constantly innovating, looking at how do we manage turf differently, how do we take care of trees differently. In the time that I've been with the department, I know we've adjusted a lot of our maintenance practices. And then also, too, if we don't necessarily have money to replace ramadas or benches, we are starting to roll out with painting so that we can spruce things up and show that we do care, but make the parks look better with the means in which we have available.
Mm-hmm. How was the summer as far as the pool activity?
Busy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had great attendance numbers. June and July tend to be pretty packed. All 20 pools were able to be open this year. Mm-hmm. And we saw that folks were coming out. We actually did 1,600 children learn to swim classes, which was 400 more than we did last year. And I'm really proud of that, because that means we're providing life-saving lessons to kiddos, so that if they come exposed to bodies of water, we have confidence that they're going to be able to save their own lives if they were to accidentally drop in.
Were you having any trouble staffing your people this summer?
No, this year it wasn't staffing that really challenged us. We've been pretty fortunate to have returning staff and people still interested in working at our pools. Now we're trying to the cost of operating pools is extensive, but trying to figure out how do we find that balance? How do we deliver to the public what they need? And then how do we keep on budget?
All right, slip your headset on. We have a caller. Paul would like to ask you a question about Jacobs Park. Go ahead, Paul.
I didn't hear any mention of the swimming pool at Jacobs Park. And I was wondering if it's still there or what's the future for it.
Sure. So the pool actually is on the Prop 407 improvements list. We're going to be doing some resurfacing. It has a splash pad as well that needs some work, and we're going to also kind of reorient the way that the deck is managed so that the splash pad can stay open longer than the actual pool for public enjoyment.
Okay. And I just got a news release, Lara, from your department, a proposal to rename Mansfield Park to Doris J. Thompson Park.
That's correct.
What's that about?
So we do have a process that allows members of the public to make a recommendation around what a park is named.
Okay.
In this particular case, the Sugar Hill Neighborhood Association, which is definitely lives all around Mansfield Park, has made a recommendation to rename it.
Mm-hmm.
The individual that they have selected, they feel historically did a lot of advocacy in that particular neighborhood, and feel that it is a more fitting name for the park. So what happens? We have a 45-day process. The members of the public are able to write in whether they're in support or against of the recommendation. Mm-hmm. At the end of the 45-day process, we then will take that the aggregate of all of that input to our Parks and Recreation Commission for them to review. And then after they've reviewed it, we take it to Mayor and Council for them to approve.
The commission is how many members?
7 members. Currently, we have 5.
Is that a non-paying position?
Yes.
So it's volunteers?
It's volunteer. Each individual is appointed by one of the ward offices or the mayor's office.
Okay. Another question coming in. Is the city still looking seriously at a walking path through the Randolph Golf Course?
Right now, what I can say in regards to Randolph is that we got approval to move forward with doing improvements along 22nd Street. And so that is phase one of what was discussed sometime last year. We are going to be moving forward with those improvements, which will improve the quality of your walking experience along 22nd. What happens in the future will really be determined about when Mayor and Council is ready to make a decision on that proposal.
I use the indoor track in the summer at the Udall Center, and a lot of other Tucsonans do as well. Is that the only indoor walking track in your portfolio?
No, we have a couple. I know Clemens is another location that's very active and popular. I'm trying to think, and of course, I'm blanking on where the
I've
other
location there
were,
is. Because I wondered if there were others and that might even be closer to where I live. But so overall, your staffing levels, I know in the summer it goes up to 700 or 800 people.
Correct.
But are you having trouble, like some departments, in filling positions?
Knock on wood, we've been pretty fortunate, and I've been tracking our application volume with our recent positions that have posted, and we've had pretty robust feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some good hires. We have a few people that are in process right now of coming on board. And that makes me happy. We're always looking for people that care about parks, but people who are also really skilled in their professions.
Mm-hmm. So golfing, we have 5 golf courses. Your department doesn't have the direct management to that. That's farmed out to an outside agency. But what generally can you say about interest in golfing right now in the city of Tucson?
Well, when I joined the department, which was at the tail end of COVID, what we did see is there was an increase in the use of the golf courses. We found that people had COVID kind of introduced them to the new sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see that those numbers remain pretty strong across all the courses, which shows that we do have folks that are enjoying whether it's the driving range or the actual course itself.
Lara, if people want to have comment about the parks or they have concerns, what would be a good place to contact your team?
So certainly through our website. We also have a Facebook page. We're on Instagram as well. We do our best to be responsive. www.tucsonaz.gov/parks is a great way to find out about all of our parks, about Prop 407, what's going on, activities. Right now, we're doing open registration through Easy Reg for leisure classes. I recently have taken up pottery through our leisure classes, and it's a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of folks out there that are interested in maybe taking piano lessons or jewelry making classes. And I just want to make sure the public is aware that we have those available, and right now you can sign up.
All right, Lara, good luck, and thank you for coming in. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Lara and Matt Neely, doing a great job as usual on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.